Hi, this is Susan Taney and Kathy Poblowski from Lost Dogs of America radio podcast. Did you know that 1 in 3 people do not know where their pet's microchip is registered or if their information is really correct? Don't be that statistic. Today's episode will help you figure out the maze of microchipping. We have 5 tips to help make sure that your microchip pet has the best chance of making it home if he or she goes missing. We just want to remind you that microchips are not GPS. They will not find your pet. They are a very useful tool to help you reunite you with your missing pet if he or she is scanned at a vet clinic, shelter, police department, animal control, or another facility. And also, there's a lot of good Samaritans who have their own scanners. So sometimes they will help with scanning your found pet. So, Kathy, what's the first tip that you have?
Okay. So tip number one is we remind people to get their microchip or to get their pet scanned annually at their vet. So when you go in for your annual vet appointment, ask your vet to scan your pet for their microchip to make sure it is still functioning properly and hasn't migrated in their body. And we have, I think, Susan, it was you that actually shared an x-ray that somebody had shared with you of a microchip that had migrated in their pet's body and was way, way down in their leg. So that was very troubling because microchips can migrate. And so you want to make sure that when you go to your annual vet appointment, you get that microchip scanned, make sure it's functioning properly, and then ask the vet to give you the unique identifying number, sort of like a barcode, that comes up on the scanner when they scan your pet. So it is your responsibility then to take that information or to make sure that the information associated with that unique identifying number is correct. So you're the one that's got to be responsible if you move or if you change your phone number to make sure everything is kept up to date. So that's tip number one. Susan, what's tip number two?
Okay. So once you know your microchip number, use the AAHA, which is actually American Animal Hospital Association lookup tool to identify the brand. That website is www.petmicrochiplookup.org. Excuse me. Again, it is www.petmicrochiplookup.org. This is a search engine that can quickly scan the participating microchip databases to see where your microchip was registered. Store the number, the brand name, and the 1-800 phone number in your phone and in a couple of other safe places at home. And many times when you do get your animal microchip, they do give you an ID card. So keep that in your wallet too. Make sure you have the information available if you're traveling and your pet is under the care of someone else like a kennel or pet sitter.
Great tip, because I can just imagine being traveling somewhere and then finding out that my pet has gone missing back home and I don't have the microchip number with me. You know, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, here I am, you know, 1,000 miles away from home and that microchip number is sitting in a filing cabinet in my house where nobody can get access to. So it's so important to, like you said, to keep it in your wallet, in your phone, so that you have it accessible.
Correct. Yep, very good idea.
I think the other thing, like, that we want to clear up the confusion about the AHA search engine. It's a tool. It is not an actual separate database. So you kind of want to think of it as something like Google, where you put the number in and it scans and looks for information. It is not a separate database. So I just know that there's some confusion about that, but it's an extremely useful tool and everybody should be using it. All shelters and vet clinics should be using it all the time.
Correct.
So tip number three, after you have identified your brand of microchip using the lookup tool, call the number of the microchip company, and that's usually put right, that will pop up when you use the AHA lookup tool. So the phone number will pop up, and then call that company and make sure all of your information is up to date. Some microchip companies will allow you to do this online. So some of them do have an online service available, some don't. So it's usually best to call them, you know, right off the bat to begin with to find out, you know, what's the best way to make sure everything is up to date. And then if they do have an online tool available, you're going to have to create an account. And again, you want to keep that bookmark in on your computer and in your phone for easy access, because you're going to want to be able to access that information really, really quickly if your pet goes missing. And you know what it's like when your pet goes missing, you'll be in a panic, and you've just got to make it as easy as possible for yourself to be able to put your hands on that information. So Susan, what's tip number four?
Well, as you know, some microchip companies do charge you extra fees. So we ask that you do take the time to research and understand what you're being charged for. You may be paying unnecessary fees like extra pet services, lost pet services or insurance. And, you know, you really have to talk to that customer service. And if you're not getting the answer you want, go up the line. Really find out what you're paying for. Many times you don't have to pay that extra yearly or monthly fee. Helping Lost Pets and Lost Dogs of America provide free flyers and services if your dog does go missing, so it's unnecessary to pay for that twice. So again, just take your time and do your research. So Kathy, what's the tip number five?
Number five is add some secondary contact information to your account. Again, think through the scenarios. What if your pet goes missing when you're in a car accident? You and your pet are in the, you and your dog, you know, we're coming home from the dog park and you're in a, you know, some kind of a rollover accident or whatever, and you end up incapacitated in the hospital. So important, you know, it's a horrible thing to think about, but it's so important to have secondary contact information on your account. Or also consider that you may be on vacation or out of town when your dog goes missing. Like, you know, in my case, my husband and I go on a cruise every winter. And basically, while we are on that cruise ship, we are out of touch with the rest of the world, other than the people, of course, that are on the cruise ship. But we have no cell phone service. We have no email. So we have to make sure that we have secondary contact information if one of our pets were to go missing and end up in a shelter. So think about, who do you trust that could be that secondary contact? Now, sometimes when you've acquired a pet, maybe through a shelter or a rescue or a breeder, they try to remain as the primary contact on that microchip information. And I would strongly caution against allowing that to continue. Once the adoption or sale is complete, you want that microchip registered to you. You're the one that's responsible for your pet. You're the one that's going to care the most to go down there and get your dog or cat from the shelter in a timely fashion. And so you want to be the first person contacted if your pet is scanned. If you feel comfortable leaving them on as some additional contact information, that's fine. But I would really, really strongly suggest that you get them off as being the first contact. So that was number five. That's what we promised was five. But what do you have for us, Susan?
Well, I have a bonus tip. So many times microchips come with a tag. It is important to put it on your dog's collar to serve as a notification that your pet is microchipped. And sometimes your dog's microchip number is already there, so your dog doesn't have to be scanned. So all the person has to do is call the microchip company, give them the number, and then they will be able to give you the name of the person, or they'll call the person themselves. Each company is different on that. So some companies will give you the number, the name and the number, and then some companies will just call the owner.
Right.
And this will really speed up the process of having your dog returned to you. And I know my own dogs, I have three of them, and they all had the same microchip tag number on their collar, along with their ID tag and their rabies tag. So it's a wise idea to have them because you never know which tag might fall off. So my dogs are triply guarded with three different tags.
That's great. Yep, that's really good. Just another thing. So this is even beyond the bonus tip. That something that we wanted to mention was that if you purchase or adopt a microchip pet, you can't always rely on the person that you acquired that pet from to change the information into your name. So you want to make sure that you get some kind of a bill of sale or adoption contract, and then follow through and make sure it was done. And especially true if perhaps you just acquired the pet from a family member or a neighbor or something that was moving, and the pet was microchipped to them, but now they've given it to you. You still really want to make sure that you get that transferred into your name, and you will require, the microchip company should require, that you have some sort of official bill of sale or adoption contract. That and likewise, if you give your pet away to somebody, make sure that you provide that information so that then the new owner is the one that will be contacted first and can get the microchip transferred to their name. That would help us solve a lot of the problems of out of date microchip information that we run into.
And I'm just going to make one more little tip. If your pet goes missing, immediately call the microchip so they can note it in their records. They will red flag it. Then, if an inquiry is done on your pet's microchip, you should be notified by the microchip company. And also, let's say if someone does find your pet, we've had instances where they will try to change the microchip into their name, but because you have red flagged it and you've notified the company, they're going to let you know that this is happening. And remember to always update the microchip company once your pet is found.
Yeah, I know they really appreciate that because then that's, it just kind of helps them keep their records up to date. But yeah, boy, I've heard some horror stories about that where the owner did not notify the microchip company when their dog went missing, and then a few weeks later somebody finds the dog, decides they want to keep it, and they're a actually able to go in and change the information into their name because the owner did not red flag that microchip. These are all the sorts of issues that we struggle with every day, and we're always working towards trying to help make the system better. But the big key here is education, because there's many different microchip companies, some good, not some not so good, and we just find the more that the owners are educated about the whole process and the microchip system, the better chance we have of helping them get their pets home. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. This is Kathy Poblowski reminding you to never give up. Lost dogs have been recovered weeks, months, and even years after they've gone missing.
And this is Susan Taney reminding you that not all stray dogs are homeless. Remember to always assume that a dog you find has an owner somewhere looking for them. We hope the tips we provide will help you find your missing dog. You can visit our Facebook page, Lost Dogs of America, or our website, lostdogsofamerica.org, for more tips to help you find your missing dog.
Thanks for listening.